This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm arguing with my Gus co-host here. Eric Escala is joining the Shaletta Show. It is 2:06. You're listening to News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, and I'm fussing at him.
Well, I'm trying to fight my way out of the woodshed.
Gee. I'm fussing at him because he had some great questions for Sina Hodges, right? And, you know, we let her go. And as soon as we went to commercial, he was like, I wanted to ask her about this. And I'm like, oh, my God, that would have been great. We could have kept her on for another segment. The two guys could have came on next week, or we could have had them on later in the show. We should have kept Sina. And then we tried to get Sina back, but she's not answering. She's doing some other stuff. And so I was like, listen, if you got a question, just blurt it out. Like, you know, this is a very, you know, fluid show.
I'm going to save it for Friday night, 7 o'clock, Channel 2, Almanac. Made possible by viewers like you.
Made possible by viewers like you or listeners like you. Now, one thing that people have listened to on this show is the wisdom of Lambert Fisher. He hosts the Diversity Dude podcast. He has a best-selling book called Diversity in Clinical Practice. He is joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Lambert, I want to introduce you to the amazing Eric Escala. Eric, that's Lambert.
Lambert, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Yourself?
Just great. Nice to meet you.
Agreed. Same to you.
Now, Lambert is a diversity and inclusion expert. He goes all around the country doing workshops and classes and trainings for professionals. And Lambert, you are just getting back in town. Where were you and what were you doing?
I was just outside of a suburb of Chicago speaking to social workers that work alongside police officers trying to do this very thing, improve cultural interactions within the community and help change the narrative from all the negative and polarizing conversations about diversity to positive relationship strengthening aspects of it in a healthy way.
Now, you didn't have to leave Minneapolis to do that because we need a lot more of that right here. What were some of the things, the overwhelming theme of your talks and your teaching this weekend?
Well, for the most part, the overwhelming theme is that we don't have to focus on who's right and who's wrong, as opposed to recognizing that many people on many sides of this argument are trying to do the same thing. They just don't know how to do it. They don't know how to find the language to say, I want to understand you. I don't want to offend you. I don't want to get in the way of us having a healthy relationship. But so many examples around us say somebody has to win and somebody has to lose. But if we can find out how to get our needs, both of our needs met, both of our employment needs met, our relationship needs met, then we can do a lot more in our community. We can do a lot more at every aspect, no matter what your role is, leadership role, just part of the team. We can all contribute to positive interactions and other people and help people feel culturally seen, heard, and understood without having to be an expert on every culture to do it. And that's where it gets transformative.
What are some practical examples of how this would work at a street level?
Well, at a street level, sometimes it's just a matter of pleasantly surprising the person you're working with. A lot of times people go into it assuming you don't like me, and they're assuming you don't like me, and then you go back and forth, as opposed to reassuring the other person, hey, I'm not the threat you feel that I am. I'm here to help you out. And they're like, wait, what? You mean you're not trying to judge me? You're not trying to trip me up? It's like, me neither. And once you get to that point where I'm intentionally trying to make sure your needs are getting met, can you reciprocate and do the same thing? then how do you fight with somebody who's trying to help you? How do you fight with somebody who's trying to help you make your life better? And when people see that it as mutual, the whole conversation changes.
See, that sounds very practical and very doable. What are the barriers that are preventing that?
Sometimes the barriers that are preventing it are fear. I've had so many bad experiences with people who look like you, sound like you, come from the same area as you, so I don't know that I can trust the words that are coming out of your mouth. So I need to see it first before I can believe it. And sometimes people also come in saying, I shouldn't have to earn your trust before I automatically get it. So the fact that you're not automatically giving me your trust means that you're my enemy, you're against me. And all these misunderstandings, two people come into the same situation hoping for the best, but making the wrong conclusion. So misunderstandings and fear fuel a lot of this. And when we can positively go into it and pleasantly surprise the other person in action more than just words, then that fear starts to dissipate, sometimes slowly, sometimes faster than expected.
We are talking to Lambers Fisher, host of the Diversity Dude podcast and author of the best-selling book, Diversity in Clinical Practice, about a workshop that he did just outside Chicago this weekend, has not slept, just got back in town and took some time to come on this show. Lambers, what was some of the feedback that you received from the social workers who are right alongside police officers in this training?
Well, some of the feedback is just the fact that in part of the organization themselves, when they're working with the individuals, they start to realize these people, these men, these women who are in, have these uniforms on, they are good people trying to do good things. Sometimes it's just a matter of trying to show that they are not the bad examples that are getting popularized. Yes, they exist. Yes, there's people who give them all a bad rap, but they're trying to do the very thing that we want them to do, but they also don't know how. What sometimes it's just the language. How do I say it? I don't have practice in practicing scripts to actually show the on the outside how they genuinely feel on the inside. So sometimes it's just a matter of practice in a safe environment where trial and error, where the error doesn't mean you get fired. The error doesn't mean you get judged. It's a matter of refinement and clarification. So it's like, oh, that's real. That's practical. I can do that in a safe environment as well as in the community.
What role do the social media platforms and television shows and movies and the newscasts, what role does that media component play in this?
Well, unfortunately, a lot of the things that get clicks, that get links, that gets forwards are the sensationalized aspects of it. The worst case scenarios, because people say, wow, I can't believe that happened. And they say, oh, you want more of that? I can show you more of that. When that's not always an exact depiction of what happens in real life. Ever? Yes. To the degree that it's depicted online? No. So when we make our conclusions about, well, if I see that one officer do this, if I see that one teacher do this, if I see that one politician do this, that must mean what that's what they all do, then it starts to get a bad impression. Then I react to you based on my perception of you that you did not earn. But then when you react to me based on what I then showed, then we have this spiral that goes out of proportion. And I think you started it. No, you started it, when actually it goes back to the fear started it. And that social media eggs it on. Sometimes it takes a long, hard fight to get clear, accurate pictures on social media, because that doesn't get the actual clickbait type of things. So if we try to show clarity, we try to show the positive perspectives to balance it out, then we might be able to see more encouragement and more hope around social media and all media as a whole through healthy conversations like this that are not the same as all the others.
And, you know, Lambers, I want to know, I've got people texting and DMing me. I know that you do these trainings. People can hire you. They can go to your website at lambersfisher.com to find out more about you and get information about your book. I've sat in some of your workshops and watched you engage. And I know that the goal when you are educating teachers is very different than the goal when you are educating social workers who work alongside police officers. And so I know that you train and educate, very different number of professions. And so it's not just social workers, but, you know, you run the board on that. But for this particular workshop, what was the goal? When they brought you in, do they talk to you and say, we want to accomplish this?
Oftentimes they bring me in after they've already had either a title, a position, or actual mandated diversity DEI trainings that leave people angry, afraid, more polarized, scared to talk about it, and it's not actionable. They have these ideas, these concepts of do better, but they don't know what it looks like. So in part, I feel like I'm the person at prom, and everybody's on the wall, but nobody's on the dance floor because they're afraid. And so my job is to help people feel empowered, feel encouraged to say, you can get on the dance floor. You can be a part of the game. You don't have to be a DEI expert to do it, but you can be a part of helping create healthy interactions, one relationship at a time. Then the practical part is, well, how do we do it in a way that's not about the policies and the procedures that are often designed to be punishing, do this or else, get right or else, don't offend someone or else, as opposed to focusing on the people behind the policies and the procedures. Show that you care. Show how that you care about all your colleagues, the people who you serve, the people you work alongside of. When you focus on the people behind the policies, then everything else follows. Then it doesn't matter what role, what industry, what environment. Everybody has people who are trying to interact with other people, and that's why it translates across all the environments that we talked about.
Is the K-12 system doing its part? Would there be a better way to kind of encourage folks getting along?
I have found very positive experiences when principals have me come in to talk to the teachers and have these same conversations, because they're trying to say, I want to create healthy, culturally safe environments without jumping through all these hoops, but they have to be afraid. If I say this word, if I say racism, I might get fired. If I say cultural CRT, which I had never intended to say in the first place, but if a student asks me, I feel more afraid and don't know how to lead. And so if I focus on how can I help them respond to students' concerns, focusing on the students, focusing on the relationships they have with the students, then most of those policy and procedure things, most of those clickbait type of topics are less important, because the students aren't trying to get teachers fired. The students aren't trying to find the deepest answers to the theory and theoretical questions. They're trying to say, hey, am I safe? Teacher, can you reassure me? Hey, am I safe? And can you affirm my identity without putting a stamp of approval on any aspect of my identity? Can you say I'm safe? I still matter. And when you boil it down to things like that, then most of the other things fall by the wayside, but we don't know how to do it. The principals are trying. Matter of fact, the extra conversations with the teachers are, I want to create an environment where my students feel safe, but I don't feel safe in the staff meeting to have these conversations either, where another teacher might come at me. So can you help us learn how to have healthy interactions with each other while still being the leaders and not making the students have to be responsible for teaching us in that way or holding us accountable in that way? But they're longing for it. They want to be empowered so that is not a barrier for them doing what they came there to do in the first place, teach and lead the next generation. So they're trying. They just often don't have the direction for how to do so. And that's where I like to try to fill that gap.
Okay, you got to tell people how they can reach out to you because there's somebody out there who needs you to do a workshop or a training or a seminar, whether it is virtual or in person. And I know the impact that you make when you are in those spaces. I've been in your workshops and I've seen systems and people transform. So how can they reach you and get in touch with you?
Well, basically, there's two different ways. You can reach me at lambersfisher.com. Unfortunately, nobody knows what a Lambers is, so it's kind of hard to type in. So I make it simple. You can reach me at diversitymadesimple.com, because that's the idea, to not make it polarizing and confusing and overly deep and theoretical, but to make it simple and practical. You reach me at diversitymadesimple.com. And by the way, you don't have to be the leader. You don't have to be the principal, the owner of the company. Sometimes people say, hey, I need my boss to hear this. Here, I'm going to reach out to you. Give me that information, and I'll reach out to that person to say, hey, someone in your organization said you might be able to benefit from this. Whatever the case may be, I'm happy to reach out and have whatever impact I can have.
Thank you so much for being on the show, Lambers. Now get some rest.
Much appreciated. You guys have fun.
Thanks.
All right. It is 2:18. We'll be right back.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
What's love got to do with it is what he wants to know. Eric Escala on the Shaletta Show, Making Trouble. I'm having a conversation with Cena Hodges, and we're talking about, you know, black women and not watching TV on Monday because we will feel the hurt and grief all over again of not being able to see what we thought would be history in our lifetimes, the first black female president, not knowing if that is something we will ever see. And so, you know, just talking about the challenges of being an African-American woman and how we move about in this new America. And Eric had a question.
Well, how do men figure into the equation?
How do black men figure into the equation?
Yeah.
You know, that is so tricky. I must tell you. Now, whenever I start a conversation like this, it's about to get deep.
Uh-oh.
I usually don't say this in front of white people, but the dynamic for black men and women has been changing over the years. You know, as women get an equal footing in society, it's been a very interesting dynamic. And so I think we are right now still trying to figure that out. And it is very tricky.
Why is it so difficult?
Because, in years past, it has always been, especially for black women, that we are the supporters. We are the backbone. Everybody says that black women are the backbone of fill in the blank.
Yeah.
The family, the marriage, the church, democracy, the justice, you name it. We are it. And so now as we step away from that role and want some of that spotlight ourselves, want some of that American pie, want some of that American money, want to see success on our own and have our name on the top line and not always on the second line. It is an interesting shift because that has not ever been our place in this America. You know, there's been we let Oprah in, you know, Claire Huxtable, Gayle King. 1, 2, 3, 15. You know, but everybody now, all of y'all, and so it's a different role for us, and so a lot of people are trying to figure out this new tricky dynamic, including our black men.
Is it a problem, or is it just the way it is?
It is the way it is, but we got to work on it. And you saw some of that as a political. You know, guy, you saw some of that when Barack Obama had to talk to black men and say, listen, you've got to support Kamala Harris.
There was a little bit of pushback on that.
It was a lot of pushback on that. And what he was saying out loud is something that we don't normally say because, listen, that's like opening the blinds and letting everybody see inside your house. Right. So the blinds have been closed, but we've been dealing with this for a while now. As black women are elected leaders and CEOs and are business owners and leaders in the community and ministers and preachers, you know, there's a shift in a new dynamic and black men are really some black men are having a difficult time grasping and catching up with that.
Are you saying that there's sexism involved or am I stretching?
A little bit of that. And it's just new. Like if your child came home with a nose ring from college, you'd be like, what the hell is that? Your wife is coming home a CEO. Your wife is coming home a business owner. Your wife is coming home with a corporation and making millions of dollars. What is going on with that? This is not the person that I married. I married you to be my wife and to raise our children and to lock this family down and be the backbone. And that's we're saying, you know what? Can I get a backbone? Can I get out here and be the CEO? I've got dreams. I want to write a book. I want to get out in a community. I want to start a business. And so there's a dynamic there.
Is this being discussed in the community?
This is being discussed in the community, and they're going to be mad at me for telling you about it. I'm not supposed to be talking to you. You done made me pull the blinds open, and people are looking in the house. People are looking in the house, and we're letting everybody in the house. And so when Barack Obama said the loud thing out loud, and everybody was like, oh, no, close those blinds back, because everybody is looking and they're going to see that the shift that Black women are experiencing right now, the success that we're experiencing, is having an impact on our relationship with our men.
Now, I think the polling and the exit polling and the examination of the voter trends in November showed that more and more, particularly younger Black men, were siding with President Trump.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Snoop Dogg and Nelly, they're performing at the inauguration. A lot of other young African-American men are there in support of Donald Trump. And, you know, we are not a monolith by any means. We vote.
That's important to say.
Yeah, that's important to say. We don't necessarily vote for, you know, all as a unit. We're not going in there, and I'm not going to tell my ex-husband or my sons or my daughter who to vote for. Here's the information. You have to make the best choice for you. Right. So we're not a monolith. Just like white people don't all vote the same, neither do Black people. But we always have had a strong united front because, you know, we've always wanted the same things. Equality, opportunity, safety, the education. Right. And so, you know, the messaging has always been the same.
For whatever needs to be corrected, if anything, what's the path?
The path is understanding and support. Both ways. What's happening is some Black men are having to come to terms with the fact that some Black women are as or even more successful than some Black men. And that's a tough pill to swallow when you've never had to take a pill before. So that's where we are. And so when Barack Obama was talking about it, it was a conversation that we have privately. He was having it publicly. And that's why there was so much pushback. Because they're like, we have to handle this in house. You know, one of the things that we grew up hearing from our parents is what goes on in this house stays in this house. I don't know if you got that as a white person, that we didn't tell our business. You didn't go out and say what's going on, good or bad, right?
I think Lutherans are the same.
Lutherans
way.
Are the same. Okay, I knew there was some similarities. Lutefisk, chitlins, privacy, secrets, all that good stuff.
There you go.
But, you know, and sometimes just culturally, like my grandfather saved up his money and he bought a Cadillac. And he never drove it to work. He worked for a white man. He was the white man's driver. And he drove him around wherever he needed to go. And he would never drive his car to work. And I thought that was just the craziest thing. Why won't you drive? You bought this car. You take so much pride in this car. You drive it to church. You know, we go to different community events in this car. Why? Because we don't want anybody to think that we're too good or we're better. And that was so strange to me. Right. We want people to know that we're doing well. We want people to see that we're successful. But I didn't grow up in a time where if you were doing too good, your neighborhood got burned down. Or if you had too much success, then you got lynched. Or if you were building your own ecosystem and we felt like you were, you know, getting too big for your britches, we'll just come in there and tear your whole neighborhood down, torch it and kill you. And there would be no repercussions. So my grandfather saw that. I did not. And so he understood that you didn't want to be too successful. You didn't want to be too showy. You didn't want to be too uppity because that type of behavior can get you killed. Right. And so now as an adult, I can appreciate it more. But at the time, I didn't, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Very interesting. As you say, it seems like a very complicated.
It is very complex. It is very complex. And you know, until even for me, a person who talks for a living and talks about it, as you can see, I'm still very measured in how I say it because I still got to go to church tomorrow.
So there's more there that you don't want to say?
Of course it is. Because you're not going to get me put out of my church, Eric Escola, sir. But, you know, I have to be careful in what I say because I don't want to sound like I'm bashing Black men. Right. Because I have three Black sons. I have a Black father. I have a Black ex-husband. I love all of them dearly. But I can say that when Barack Obama was encouraging Black men to support Kamala Harris.
Kind of chiding them.
I was going to say chiding, but chiding is
too,
not
too
a
strong.
Word. Yeah, it's a little strong, but we said chiding. Okay. So he was chiding Black men about supporting Kamala Harris at the time. Black women were like, thank you, Jesus. Finally, somebody said it. Woo! I thank you, Barack, honey, because, oh, Lord, somebody should have said it, because we don't never get no support from black men. And then when the cameras come, we're like, oh, no, that's not true. He's just, I don't know what he's talking about. Yeah, we're fine over here. Nothing to see. Keep it moving. And then when nobody's asking, girl, did you see what he said? I'm glad somebody finally said it. We love to get some support from black men, but, girl, they don't want us to be successful. Girl, we can't do nothing over here. Child, that's why I'm divorced. Me, too. I ain't never getting no husband again. That's the conversation.
You're a one-woman version of The View. Wow.
So that's how the conversations are going when nobody's looking.
I think that would be a good program for you going forward.
Yeah, I'm going to call the producers at TPT, Karen, and we could work something out.
I think it sounds unresolved to me.
It's very unresolved. We should have a town hall.
Well.
I think I found my next op-ed.
Well, there it would fit. You had the black woman point of view,
mm-hmm.
Then go to the black man point of view.
And then do the Obama, throw that in there, and then get it back to politics, which is always hot and popping.
It writes itself.
Yeah, it did. It just did. It All just right. did. All right. Okay, so we're going to be right back. We're talking about Tubman and the big MLK project I've got coming up next. It is 2:39. You are listening to The Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station, hanging out with WCCO Radio royalty, Eric Escala in his purple scarf. Thank you for hanging with me. This is the longest we have ever hung out together.
Yes, it is, but it's gone by quickly.
It's gone by quickly, and have you had fun?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And I think Lindsay does a remarkable job.
She does an amazing job. I'm so glad to have her as my producer.
I whispered to her during the break that, thank you for giving Shaletta some adult supervision.
Because you know I need it. I'm still trying to get my medications right. You know, there are some organizations in town, Eric, that do an amazing job helping the least of these. And sometimes we have to turn around and help them too.
Well, you've got a day of service thing planned.
Yes. MLK Day of Service on Monday at noon. African-American women in the Twin Cities have come together to get bedding and pillows for the families, domestic abuse survivors who are temporarily living at Tubman in their shelter. Mm-hmm. And Jen Polzine, the CEO of Tubman, is joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Jen, I just want to say thank you for all the work you do at Tubman to help families in crisis.
Well, thank you, Shaletta. It is an absolute honor and joy to be able to work with our community.
Now, I want to introduce you to Eric Escala from Almanac, formerly WCCO Radio. He's hanging out with me today as my guest co-host.
Hey, Eric.
How you doing today? This is an exciting event on Monday. Can you give the address and whatever pertinent information is needed for folks to get involved?
Yes. You can find us at 1725 Monastery Way in Maplewood, 55109, and you can find that information on our website, which is tubman.org, where you can also learn how to get help for yourself or for someone that you care about, or how to get involved by getting help in projects like this.
Why the need for the bedding in particular?
So, you know, the bedding in particular, it meets a need in so many ways. Not only is it providing some tangible budget relief to help us stretch our dollars even further to make a deeper impact, but more importantly, it lets the people that are staying with us know that they're cared about and thought about, and it helps them get a good night's rest at a really stressful time, which is so important, not only in the healing process, but also in having the energy to move forward in their journeys from fear to freedom. And it also is fantastic because people can take the bedding with them when they leave and as they're making a fresh start in their new housing out in the community.
How are folks going to drop off the bedding? And a little bit more about the detail of who can come and what's going to happen surrounding the actual drop-off of the stuff. And
yeah, and Shaletta helped me out. So
okay, so this is yeah. She just giving me the space. So yeah, I'm sorry. I just bombarded them. I'm sorry, girl, Jen.
No, we're loving every minute.
So Jen and the team over there, they help people in crisis. I hosted their gala last year.
Okay.
And so there was a lady who was visiting our church, and she was in crisis, and she called Tubman, and they found, you know, a space for her and her family. And so when I checked in on her, she said, yeah, we got to get some bedding. And so when I checked back in with Jen, she said, yeah, you know, we could use some help if you want to help us, you know, drop off and donate some bedding. And that's when God put the idea in my spirit to do a drive. It's MLK. It's a day of service. And so many people are going to be looking for something to do that day. So I thought, I'm going to get every Black woman I know to pick up bedding and bring it over to Tubman. And so I begged Jen, the offices are closed on Monday. I begged her if she could please just open a spot for us. And my team from ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com will come and greet the people as they came and dropped off bedding. So they're accepting twin and full size comforter sets and sheet sets as well as pillows. And so, Jen, these women, I tell you, these Black women who follow me on social media, it has been amazing, Eric. We talked earlier in the show to Yolanda Pearson. Her husband has a trucking company. And it's Pearson and Sons Trucking. And so they are going around to everybody that they know. And people are putting their bedding in the truck. And their goal is to fill the truck.
Oh, that's
and
incredible.
So they have 50 plus bed in a bags. They have 50 plus pillows. They want to get 100 bed in a bags. Mm. And they're going to everybody that they know. They're telling people, if you want to donate, we'll come and pick it up. You don't even have to drop it off because it's going to be brutally cold on Monday.
Yeah.
We'll come and get it. And they want to drive this dump truck up to Tubman filled with bedding and pillows. And I'm just so grateful to Yolanda Pearson and her husband at Pearson and Sons Trucking. If you have bedding that you want her to pick up, dumptruckpros.com, dumptruckpros.com is where you can go. So I'm really just bogarting my way up in Tubman. I really am. But it's
and we love it.
It's 12 o'clock on Monday. It's a day of MLK Day of Service project for Black women, where you can come and bring that, and well-meaning white women who want to help. They have been making donations online at Tubman.org.
Mm-hmm.
They have been shipping bedding to Tubman so that these blankets and pillows and sheets can get to the families. And, you know, I didn't realize, Jen, that you need extra supplies, because as these families get out in community and they find housing and they get on their feet, they taking the blankets. They're not leaving them behind. So you got to keep constantly replenishing your stock. So this is a great way to just have a whole bunch of bedding there and available.
How many clients do you have there at Tubman?
So we have 90 people living in the shelter at any given time, and they range from newborns all the way up to seniors. And so sometimes it's a multi-generational family. Sometimes it's a woman who comes by herself. Sometimes it's a woman with her kids. We even serve male survivors as well. But it's mostly women and children and youth, teens who are there. And so this really, in our shelter program, it's really about more than just a place to lay your head. It's really, how can you catch your breath, figure out your next step, and get the support that you need to make all the changes that you want so that you can be safe and move from simply surviving to thriving.
Have you found an increase in demand for your programming?
You know, we have. Part of that is because the more we talk about it, the more awareness that people know that there are options and ways to get help. And also, these are tough times, and people are, there are so many stressors in life, and the economic pressures, the relationships, what we're taught about what healthy relationships look like, we often don't learn that. And so we're seeing all of these things really take a toll in our communities. And shelter is one brief spot on the journey from
from, again, fear to freedom. And it's all of those wraparound services for youth, adults, and families that really help survivors, again, achieve their goals and thrive.
Well, thank you so much for partnering with me. If people want to get more
information.
Yeah, girl, I'm here for y'all. Y'all do good work, and I just want to help in any way that I can. And if people want to get more information about the MLK Day of Service for Black Women on Monday at noon, they can go to ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com. Jen, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I'll see you on Monday.
All right. And my friend Steve Thompson is coming up next. We've been bouncing ideas off each other, kind of like basketball. You've been passing the ball to me. I've been passing the ball back to you. Eric Escala's in the studio on the Shaletta Show. And Brenda Grahams is weighing in on Facebook. She's so excited that you're here, Eric. She says, awesome. Finally got a chance to listen to Eric Escala on the radio. Eric read in my classroom once, and we all wore scarves. That's from Brenda Grahams.
Wow.
Yes.
What a good memory she has.
What a good... Because everybody knows you're the scarf guy.
I wonder if I wore my Dr. Seuss hat that day.
Okay, I'm gonna see what she says. Okay, I'll check in. But Steve Thompson is here. His show is coming up next. Steve, I got Eric Escala in the whole studio with me. Are you impressed or what?
I'm impressed. One of the legends.
I want to congratulate you, Steve, on your speech at the 100th anniversary gala. You gave a tremendous, heartfelt speech about. And maybe you could share with the audience about kind of your attitude about working at CCO.
Well, what I kind of circled back to was what it meant to me to get a job at this great radio station all those years ago. You know, growing up listening to Herb and Ray and Boone and Erickson and Cannon and Hobbs and all of those sorts of things. So, you know, to just be a part of it is just a huge honor.
What are we going to do about our twins? Do we have a new ownership?
It sounds like there are a number of interested parties. And, Eric, as you know, it all comes down to dollars and cents and ultimately the Polad family deciding who they will sell to. But it sounds like a deal is going to come together pretty quickly.
And what do you want to do about Sam Darnold?
You know, the funny thing about Darnold is he was a bargain at, what, $10 million for 1 year?
Yes.
I would think, considering how he performed in the playoffs, which wasn't good, that they would be able to get him back on a deal and let him and J.J. McCarthy and even the guy they brought in from the Giants,
Jones?
Daniel Jones,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kind of all compete for the job. I don't think that would be a bad move because we have no idea if J.J. McCarthy can play. He's played exactly zero snaps in meaningful games.
Exactly zero snaps.
He does come from right. That Michigan program where they didn't pass all that much when Coach Harbaugh was there.
Well, that's exactly right, Eric. They had a phenomenal O-line. They were able to run the ball effectively. He didn't need to do a lot as quarterback. I think in the NFL week in and week out, the speed of the game, the pass rush, all of those things are quite a bit different than the college game. He may do well, but he might not.
Notre Dame or Ohio State?
Ohio State has so much talent. They're so talented. I'm surprised they got beat by Michigan in Columbus in the game earlier this, and then there was that ugly incident at the end of the game. But, yeah, I like Ohio State. Just too much talent.
Oh, don't point to me now. You done took over my whole time with Steve. This is my favorite part of the day. He done asked 7 questions in a row. Now he want to point at me when we got 32 seconds left to talk.
I'm getting positioned underneath the basket, and I'm elbowing everybody. I don't get to talk to Steve that often. This is exciting for me.
I know. And you know what, Steve? When we went to breakfast this morning, Eric and I, and we spent so much time talking about you and how awesome you are and how wonderful you are and what a great dad you are and all. And I was giving him an update on your daughter, Erin, and how she graduated from college and got her master's and she was working and doing so well. And he was just so impressed with what a great parent you and Michelle are.
That's true. That's not even making it up. That's what we had a nice visit about you.
Well, I am thrilled that someone even thinks about me. That's a good thing.
Well, your show is coming up. Thank you so much for coming on my show. And you too, Eric Escala. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
All right. You guys stick around. Steve is coming up next. Have a great weekend and make MLK a day on and not a day off.